Yes, Lord, you are powerful and mighty. Lord, we desire you. We need you, Lord. You've entrusted your grace to us, Lord, your Spirit. And yes, we need to be renewed continually, Lord. We are broken, in many ways hurting. We depend on your grace to function, to live, to breathe, to do ministry, to be the church that you called us to be, to love one another, to extend grace to one another, to proclaim the gospel, to pray for healing, for unity, for vision. Oh Lord, impart your wisdom to us this morning. Enable us to trust in you, to believe in you with all of our hearts. Speak to us, Lord. Affirm us, Lord. Today, Lord, we long to see you, Lord. To be full of your presence in such a way, Lord, as to move forward. We need the strength of your Holy Spirit, but also we need the faith that allows us to stop doing what we should not do and to do what we're supposed to, Lord. To stand firm, believing that we walk by faith and not by sight. Not by the circumstances of life or our own circumstances, Lord, challenges, but rather the things that you have called us to be, Lord. Direct us this morning in your mighty name, Jesus, by the power of your word and the direction of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We entrust ourselves to you now in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to invite you to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Thank you, John, Shelley, and the worship team for leading us through this time. I want to share this morning about the power of God in us, leading us to serve. When we see the Bible, the secret of the ministry in the lives of His disciples was the fact that they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And according to the promise of Jesus, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In the last 2 weeks, I've shared how we as Christians are the light in the midst of a culture that is growing darker. Deep in darkness, evil being called good and good being called evil, and how we need to be awake and we need to be full of the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish what God called us to be. Last week, I invited you to John 16, and we look at the direction of the Holy Spirit. We looked at the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but also the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. And it is in this same idea that I want to invite you to see this passage in 2 Corinthians 6 that speaks of being empowered to serve, empowered to do what God called us to do. The secret is nothing more than the Holy Spirit and nothing less than the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way for us to operate. So it says in verse 1, working together with Him, and that is we as a church operating and working together with God, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of the righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. These 13 verses here really speak of serving God in the midst of impossibility, serving God in the midst of difficulty, and serving God for it is through the service to God that we are able to minister people in the place where they are, but also it is in service where we grow to the plan that God has for us. Now, right away, in verse 1, I want to look at that phrase to start, working together with Him. God is working in us, but we are actually working together with Him. Consider this for a moment. And the challenge of this verse is, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. It is a challenge, a confrontation. It is an admonition that says, don't receive the gifts of God in vain. Let me ask a question this morning. What have you been given? What have you been given for ministry this morning? In what ways the gift of grace has been invested in your life? In what ways has the power of the Spirit come to you so that you may be an instrument of God in the lives of other people? What do you have today by the grace of God that you need to be using in the kingdom of the Lord? Start thinking about it. Start naming it in your mind or loud. That's okay. What do you have that has been given to you for the sake of the kingdom of heaven? For according to this verse, we are working together with God, and we are not to take in vain the grace of God. We are vessels. We are ministers. We are used in the hands of the Holy Spirit to be and to make a difference in the lives of other people. Now, you may say, well, I don't have much. I'm not much. Do you have anything? Is there anything you have that God has given you for His kingdom, for His sake? Isn't it everything given to you by grace, by the grace of God? Isn't it everything? Financially, physically, spiritually? Every area of your life is God's. You breathe, you live, you move in Him. We've been looking at this. Now, consider this. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, it speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in us and the ministry and the activities of the Spirit. It says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in some special people in the congregation. No. Everyone. Well, you don't understand. I am not like everyone else. Oh, yeah, I get you. I know that. That's me, okay? That's where I've been for many years, too. I don't have what everybody else has. I'm not able, Lord. Why me? Don't you have anyone else here in this crowd, Lord? Now, look at these in the next verses, verse 11 and 12. It says, these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Not all of us have the same gifts. Amen? He apports and gives to each of us as He wills. He is sovereign. In fact, I believe that in this congregation where you have been called to serve and ministry and to ministry and be part of, actually we have the gifts necessary to accomplish the work of God. But those gifts have been spread throughout the congregation. And unless we all work together with one mind and one spirit in unity, the church will be lacking some serious needs that are meant to be fulfilled by you specifically. It's a variety of members. It's a variety of gifts. It's a variety of services and activities that has been given by God individually as He wills. Now, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now look in the same picture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. When Christ ascended on high, He led a host of captives, the ones that were in Sheol, He took them with Him to paradise. Now, He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. If you say, I don't have any gifts, is God a liar? You have gifts. How many of you have gifts here in this room this morning? 5? 10 of you? How about the rest of you? All of us have gifts by God. Now look why we have them in verse 12 and 13 of Ephesians 5. 4. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. For building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This morning as you walk through the fellowship hall, you saw the different ministries maybe. You glance at all the tables and you wonder what is going on. Maybe you remember as you walk in that today is our ministry expo. And what we want to do is just invite you to see what God is doing in Winter Park Christian Church. But also invite you to be part of what God is calling us in Winter Park Christian Church. It's not just about showing. No. This is what we believe is the vision as we minister. And the needs as we minister in the community. Also in the body of Christ. And God has empowered all of us to be what He called us to be. And the first thing I want to look at through this passage is how God's power is at work in us. God's power is at work in us. Look at verse 1. God is working together with us, or we are working together with Him. He entrusted us a call. He entrusted us a ministry. He gave us gifts. He gave us knowledge. We have wisdom inside and faith and hope and strength and favor. And we have power of God that allow us to work with Him. Now, as I mentioned before, we are less than nothing. And God is not calling angels or archangels or seraphim. He's calling us. Us to work with them. So then Paul says, I appeal to you. He appeals to the Corinthians not to receive the grace of God in vain. When we receive, when we have an inlet but we don't have an outlet, we become dead. A dead sea. How is the Dead Sea? Have you seen the pictures? Have you looked at it? It's dead. Nothing grows under it or on the sides of it. There is an inlet that receives water and minerals and salts and all kinds of things. But the water is not flowing. So it's a dead sea over the centuries and the years. So don't receive the grace of God in vain. And we'll see why this is important. God called us to serve others on His behalf. And as we serve others, we are working with them and we become ministers, ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In fact, you are the closest thing to Christ that many people will see. And this is something amazing. God could just give the blessing and the gifts and all the wisdom to everyone individually, but He says, no, I have a purpose and a plan, and I'm going to use my servants to accomplish my work because I want to make them part of the kingdom. That's the plan of God. So 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are God's workers. Now, not only God calls us to serve others on His behalf and He's working on us, but there is a time to act on behalf of God. And when I think of this, look at verse 2. We read it. In a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. How many of you are glad that Christ came into your life when He came into your life? I was 13. My family was broken. My parents were separating, threatening to divorce. Today, 29 years later, my two sisters are Christians, married to Christian men who follow the Lord. My father became a believer and a servant of Christ in the last 2 years. My mother has been following the Lord. My life, my family's life was changed dramatically in 1993 when the gospel entered the darkness of our family. What a powerful thing. The time when the Lord came. Now, there were times when I said, Lord, I wish You would have come to us sooner, earlier in life. But let me tell you something too. I am reminded of how things were without Christ. And I don't want to go back there, okay? I don't want to go back to the darkness that we lived before Christ came into our family. Thank You, Lord, for coming in a time of my life when I can remember the ugliness of not being in Christ. When I was an enemy of Christ. When I was forsaken and when I was just a victim of the circumstances of the devil. But Christ came and life changed completely. And it is today it is the time for us to be in the kingdom of God. John 9:4, Jesus says, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Now it is coming when no one can work. So God's power is at work in us today, this moment, this morning by His grace. And this is the time for us to ask because night is coming when no one can work. One of these days, life is going to be gone. Gone. Completely gone. This church will be probably gone. The building will be gone. A lot of talk about America being lost these days because of the election. America will be gone. You know that? Everything that we see is going to pass. Heaven and earth will pass. But my word will not pass. The kingdom of God and the things that are accomplished in the kingdom of God will remain. Money, everything material will be gone. But let us remember one thing. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not of this world. Amen? And we focus therefore on the spiritual because the material things are passing by. And yes, we have 40, 50, 60, in 100 years, most or all of us here are going to be gone. But you know something? In the economy of the Lord, the things that we accomplish in the kingdom of God will remain. And this is something amazing because I believe God in many ways veils what we accomplish sometimes in His kingdom so that we're not conceited. But yet, one day God is going to reveal everything that we accomplish for His glory and by His grace in our lives. So we need to remember the grace of God has been given to us, entrusted to us. We have the power of God. We have knowledge. We are here by His mercy and His grace. Now, number two, God's power is at work as we serve. So God is in us, but His work is in us as we start serving. How many times have you said, Lord, if You just give me a little more, then I will start serving others? Have you ever been there? I don't have enough, so therefore I'm not doing anything right now. I'm waiting for God to equip me. And God saying, no, I already gave you enough. And as you go, you will receive more. The idea of the Dead Sea. As you open the outlet, the inlet will be blessed with more. And that's really the gospel message. Faithfulness. The one who is faithful in little will be entrusted with more. How can you ask for more and want more when you're not using what God is giving you right now? And sometimes you say, Lord, why are you using this person or that person or this brother or that sister? And they have less than me. And God says, because they are using what I have given them. In what ways are you serving others? Look at verse 3 and 4. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found in our ministry or with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. As servants of God, we do whatever it takes. We're ready in season and out of season. We do not want to be an obstacle to anyone else. We need to understand God's ministry is to be fulfilled. So we will do whatever it takes. We will pour our life for the service of others. That's what ministry is. That's what being empowered to serve is. We're called to use the gifts that God has given us for the service of others. And as we serve others, God is going to entrust us more. Look at the heart of someone who gives himself in Ephesians 5:1 and 2. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. He didn't give money. He didn't give time. He didn't give something. He gave himself. There are times in my life when I say, Lord, I want to give my life for the right things. I want to live as someone who pours his life for your kingdom. In church. And God says, the best place for you to serve right now is your house. In marriage. The best place for you to be alive is in your kids. They need you. Right now. Not 2 years from now, not 10 years from now. Right now. How does that look like? Are you giving yourself for your wife, for your children? Look what it says. A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, we serve in our marriage. We serve in our houses. We also serve in the church. We serve others. And sometimes we give the last thing we have because we understand the importance of ministry. Because this is the time for us to act. Because God's power is in us. Right now, and He's calling us to serve. And we see the need, and we see the need for a reason. And we need to be faithful because maybe not everybody is seeing the need around it. Sometimes we start by praying. We say, Lord, I remember in 2004 and 5 saying, Lord, would you open a ministry in this community for us to worship you? I don't want to go all the way to Denver. I don't want to drive all the way to Longmont where I used to go to church. 2 hours there and 2 hours back. Lord, there is a lot of people with needs in this community working here. Will you open a way? And God had a plan in mind. And see, that's the thing. He's working together with us, or we're working together with Him. He calls us. He invites us into his ministry. And He says, I want to use you. And you will be blessed as you serve. Look in Mark 10:42 through 45. Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever will be great among you must be your servant. The place to start in ministry, the place to be what God called us to be, is serving. Be a servant. It doesn't take much to be a servant. How many of you know that? You know? Oh, I can't lead. You know, I'm not a good leader. No, don't lead. Serve. That's where the leadership is needed right now. In serving. Jesus did it. Now, whoever will be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Whatever is edifying and building the lives of others, and as you serve, seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything else will be added because God's power is at work as we serve. Number three, God's power is at work in our weakness. How many of you feel incompetent this morning to do something for the kingdom of God? One, two, Praise God, this is the right church. Most of you are encouraged this morning. I mean, anyone. I was remembering this, you know, this morning when I remember in April 2011, the first message in English that I preached. I will never forget that Saturday night. And a few weeks earlier, Doug said, "You are to share this message." And I said, "Are you kidding me? Don't you have anyone else? Are we really doing that bad now here? What's going on? Where's everyone?" And sometimes I say, "Lord, anyone could be more eloquent and more powerful and more direct and biblical than me. Why? Why me?" And it is in weakness where the Lord loves to work. He chose us to confound the wise of the earth. Amen? That's a powerful promise. Now, here in 2 Corinthians 6:4, as Paul is talking about commending himself or commending his ministry in every way, look what he says: "As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way." Now, we look at leadership as something where we come from the top, from power. Look what he says: "By great endurance." He doesn't talk about eloquence. He doesn't talk about degrees or financial abilities or power. No, he says, "By great endurance we commend ourselves in afflictions, in hardships, in calamities, in beatings and imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God." He goes to the power of God over and over and over again. When he speaks of himself, he says, "I am weak, I am afflicted, I am in calamity, but he's in us, giving us the ability. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise." That is the way we serve. Sometimes, you know, we are criticized for what we do. Sometimes we are misinterpreted for what we do. Sometimes we are taken for granted. That's okay. Christ was taken for granted. Amen? But he knows what we're doing. And sometimes we are in slander, but praise the Lord. We are doing the best we can. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. The message of the gospel in us. When we are weak and broken and we feel like we can't do it. Very often in Sunday mornings, very often at night, when I think of the next thing that I have to do in the following days, I wonder, "Lord, do I have what it takes? Am I going to be able to do this?" You know, I have nightmares that I am standing over there and the worship leader says, "Time." And I just reflect on the fact that I didn't prepare for the message. Honestly. And I scramble through scriptures and I'm like, "What am I going to say? I have nothing to give." Because of the fear of not being able, because of the weakness really in my life, when I think of, "Lord, in order for me to operate," and I know this every day, every weekend, "in order for me to be what you call me to be, I have to be dependent on you, because I don't have what it takes for me to preach, to share." One day, my aunt's father died. We were in Mexico and we went to the funeral home and we drove close to it. I can see my uncle, an elder in the church and a pastor of the church. And they were waiting for me and I thought, this is good. It's not going to be so awkward to get to this place. You know how you feel when you get to a place and you don't know anybody? They were there on the sidewalk and I step off and they said, "Oh, we're so glad you came." I don't have anything to give. What do these guys have in mind or something? They said, "We just preach inside, both of us. And these people are hungry to hear the gospel. There's many of them who aren't Christians, so come and preach the gospel to them." Now, sometimes that's how people think I am or we are as we share, you know? No. And I remember the heaviness in my stomach, the fear. The worrying is, what am I going to say? Why me? And I glanced through the foyer, and I went through, and I look, and the place is full, and I started just in fear reacting. And I wish I tell you this morning that I prayed and God showed up. You know what I did? I went out and I said, I'm sorry. I can't do this. I'm not a preacher for funerals. I don't know. You guys have the experience. I'm sorry, guys. I was so ashamed. In fact, I came up with the way. I said, you know, I have to actually go to town. I have to go back. And I jumped in my truck and we left that morning. And as I left thinking, Lord, how hard it is to be a minister of the gospel. Unless you are dependent on God. Unless you realize how weak you are. Unless you say, Lord, I have nothing to give. That's where God says, I will use you. Because the glory is mine and not yours. Because I use vessels, unworthy and earthly vessels that are full of the power of God. So that when things go well, they may say, it was God working and not me. We love to say, look what I did. That's how we operate. Oh, did you see what I just accomplished here? But that is reproved by the gospel, by God. Because He deserves the glory. And no man shall take the glory of God. We idolize, and sometimes we worship leaders and pastors and men. Let me tell you something. If anything good is happening, it's because God is there. Amen? That's the bottom line. So, you're here this morning. Look at the weakness. Look at the problems that Paul battled with continually. And we serve in a personal weakness situation, and yet through the power of God. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul recounts when he asked the Lord, heal me, Lord. Three times he had prayed, heal me. Paul prayed and the dead will rise. The sick will be healed when he prayed. And at this point in time, there is an attack of the enemy bringing pain to him. And in verse 9, the Lord answers Paul when he's praying and he says, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weaknesses. In your weakness. Therefore, he said, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may be resting upon me. Now, so how do we operate? By the power of the Lord. We're of good courage. 2 Corinthians 5:6. So we are always of good courage. Because even though we want to admit that we're weak, we don't want to act like there is no hope. There is hope in Christ. Amen? And yes, through us there is hope. So we are of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, confident, strong in the Lord, and we will rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. But since we are here, we are at home or away, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So, we look at this confidently. We move forward by faith and not by sight, trying and aiming to please the Lord, knowing that one day we will hear the words, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Amen. Enter into the joy of your master. Number four, God's power is at work as we love others. God is working in us as we serve in our weaknesses. Yes, but He works in us as we love others with compassion. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:11-13. Paul opens his heart to the Corinthians and he says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. We've shared everything to you. Our heart is wide open. We're telling you the good and the bad and the ugly. You are not restricted by us. You are more than enough. Yes, you have some serious problems, but you are more than enough to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are restricted by your own affections, by your own desires and passions in life. Don't let those passions restrict you. Let go and serve the Lord. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Go on for the kingdom of God. In return, he says, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. Believe. Trust in the Lord. Move in the power of the Lord. So we serve as the love of Christ compels us to serve. as we understand the needs and the challenges that are out there, but also the challenges that are in us, and yet by the power of God making us able. And that is really through the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all." It is the love of Christ that impulses us and motivates us and directs us, because we have realized that Christ died for all. Therefore, all have died. And if He died for all, then those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. So, this morning, as we talk about ministry and being empowered by God, let me remind you that ministry is the place where we connect with the body. And how many Sundays we come to church and we worship the Lord, and yet we are disconnected from the body? Sometimes I wonder how many people walk into church this morning with serious needs, and no one was able to discern the needs or to connect with the people that walk into church. So this is what we want to do. We want to invite you to connect, to know who we are, what we do, what we are ministering to others here in the church through this ministry expo. And then ministry is the place where everyone gets involved to serve. As I said, we all have different gifts that we need to give. And unless you give those gifts, we are going to be incomplete, because God said, "I'm going to make you weak and deficient in this area so that other people from other places come and they would have what you need in order to be what I called you to be." Amen? You will not have everything. So often I look at the board, the elder board. I look at the staff members. I think, Lord, everyone has the tools and the gifts that we need to accomplish your ministry. I don't have it all. You do. We all do together. And also, ministry is a place where our vision grows in unity. We need to grow in unity. We need to know what God has called us here. And maybe as you go back there, you see areas where you could step up and serve. Be part of that ministry. There are areas where we need leaders in ministry. It is there where growth takes place. And I'm going to just invite you to visit the fellowship hall through the ministry booths out there. And I'm going to just invite you to bow your heads right now and let's pray. And although we're going to walk out of this place through the song that our worship leaders are going to come and sing, we're still in fellowship. We're still growing with one another. Now we're learning of the ministries, and I want to invite you to do that. Father, we worship you for your power in us, for your ability in us, Lord. For as we trust you, Lord, you impart more of you in us, Lord. And as we give, Lord, you not only give us love, but you increase that love in the areas where we need to be serving, Lord. There are so many needs, Lord, that are not met yet. There are so many challenges that need to be met, Lord, in this congregation. So we pray that you give us wisdom and strength and grace, Lord, to step up in faith. And to say, Lord, you call me to this ministry, to this kingdom, to this church, to this community. How can I be what you call me to be? Lord, give us eyes that understand our identity in you. Not in the circumstances, Lord, but in you. And Lord, that we may depend on you continually to accomplish your will, Father. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Guide us through this time and allow us to fellowship with one another, Lord, and to learn of one another more, Lord, as we minister together in Christ in this place where you call us. Thank you for every gift, every resource, every office, every position or every leadership area and leader who is here. Thank you for every servant, for everyone who wakes up early and late and stays here late too, Lord. And thank you for the passion and the love that you have given us for one another. Bless this congregation, Lord. Allow us to grow continually in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may stand up now, and you are free actually to go to the fellowship hall now. Remember Project Sanctuary too, and sign up if you if you see that sheet right there. God bless you this morning.